हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। आई एम वेरी मच ग्रेटफुल टू कम इनटू दिस Haile Krishna Conscious House. I am very grateful for being invited here amongst all of you. I want to seek blessings from Sadhya Prabhu, my senior God brother, Mataji, Sucharita Mataji also, to kindly bless me. Haile Krishna. All of us are in the material world, accepting these bodies and suffering from disease, old age, and in fear of the inevitable death that is coming in future. The material life is so awkward actually.
First,
so awkward.
Second one.
Hare Krishna. Is okay? So I was saying that the material life is Hare Krishna. The material life is so awkward that the soul is eternally pleasure seeking and the material world is eternally misery giving. That's why it's very awkward actually. Soul is actually suffocated in a situation where it is seeking pleasure but receiving only misery. And somehow, unfortunately, many people in the world get adjusted to this seeking happiness and receiving misery situation. This is our tragedy of material life. that we like to get adjusted. But the scriptures say that we have to wake up to the call wake up to the call of the soul and the Lord. So much so that the Lord is coming again and again just to reclaim us. The Lord is sending His great devotees, Mahatmas, just to enlighten us. The Lord is sending His scriptures to give us knowledge about Himself and His spiritual abode, Golok Vrindavan. The Lord is establishing, sending His holy places in the material world. And the Lord is finally sending His holy name, which He has made Himself more than Himself merciful, more merciful than Himself. He has invested everything in the holy name and given us, in fact He has not only invested Himself in the holy name, He has invested the essence of the spiritual world, that is Premadhana, the love of the spiritual world, He has encapsulated also in the holy name. Golokera Premadhana Harinama Sankirtana. So it is not only Sri Krishna Himself, but it is also the treasure of eternal love, of the relationship between Krishna and His devotees in the spiritual world. The essence of all that also He has invested. And that wonderful combination He has come down to gift us personally, not that okay, you go and deliver it. He has come down Himself to deliver that greatest gift to all of us. So we have to understand that as long as we dwell in the body and try to seek pleasure through the body, we will keep on suffering and suffering and suffering. The scriptures tell us that we should not seek pleasure in this world. In fact, all the scriptures, not only Vedic scriptures, but in biblical scriptures, Jesus Christ says, if you want to be truly happy in this world, then you must do one thing. You must stop trying to be happy in this world. Such a deep statement He has made. So many times you meditate deeply about it, you will get more and more realization. That how the manufacturer has told that you cannot get happiness in this world. I have designed it only to give misery and I have made it very temporary. How can one go against the manufacturer and try to find something which is not there? And all of us, many of the people in the world are seeking pleasure in the place where there is no pleasure supposed to be there. It's just an illusion or abhas of so-called pleasure. And scriptures also explain us that this experience of so-called pleasure is absence of misery and nothing else. It's just when miseries are for time being held up, there is a pause, the breach in continuity of misery that we define as happiness. But the soul is not actually seeking the happiness which means in the material world as absence of pleasure. The soul is seeking for the absolute experience, because the soul is itself absolute. The soul is not like the body. The soul is absolute. That's why the seeking of the soul is also absolute and on the absolute platform where the Lord exists. So the golden statement that I heard of late, which I would like to discuss today, is that if we are able to reconcile, if we are able to reconcile between the awkwardness of this material life and the transcendence of the spirit soul, then each moment of our life will become a new enlightening experience in loving relationship with the Lord. I will repeat again the golden statement. If we are able to reconcile between the awkward position of the material life and the transcendental nature of the soul, then every moment of our life will become a new experience in the loving relationship with the Lord. Every moment will become a new adventure to experience the new loving feature of the Lord. Because the body is always trying to make us forget this. The body is always trying to bring us to the material platform. The body is also trying to always give us pain of disease and also the pain of old age. Pain of old age is mental, physical, social, economical, financial. So many things are there. And pain of disease is coming from many, many varieties of situations. Today, we don't know how many diseases are coming. When we studied medicine in a particular way, and the symptomatology of the disease was particular. But today when we experience patients, the symptomatology has totally changed. TB used to come with mild fever in the evening, and today it comes with 104 degree chills and rigors and everything. Chikungunya was not existing. Dengue was very rare to be found. So many things were not existing, and now they are the most prominent killers. Viral fevers were not existing, and they are coming as the most prominent killers. So disease is such a situation in the material world that doctors and the scientists find more and more medicines, and they study more and more. The more and more they come to know, okay, we don't know anything. But because of their ego, they don't declare that they don't know anything. And just we are confronted and stumped and defeated by newer and newer diseases. It's a fact. All of us are exposed. We go to different area and small mosquito bites. We don't know what's going to come up. Dengue, chikungunya, malaria. What is going to come up? We don't know. Together, one. So much suffering. 6 months after the disease gets over, the body ache doesn't go. The muscle weakness doesn't go. And still we try to enjoy in this world. Try to attempt to enjoy. But every attempt is knocked down by the force of time and of material nature. Every single attempt is actually knocked down. We think that we'll be happy by getting more money and by getting more position, by getting more power and authority, by getting more health, by some dynamic procedures like yoga and so many things. But as long as the aim is to... Now you can keep it like this. That's it. So as long as you keep the desire to enjoy, that desire is smashed again and again and again. And then we attempt to keep younger and younger and younger, and we definitely get older and older and older. Please remember good old days when I was in college. I used to eat so many chapatis. I used to jump from this place to that place. I used to run from my hostel to gymnasium, work there for 2 hours, hard work and labor. Now I lift one dumbbell and I get exhausted. And I see, oh, so many hair on my beard are becoming grey, and I want to hide them under full shave and everything. And use this shampoo and that shampoo to keep the hair black and to keep the wrinkles away from coming on my face. But they are coming and coming and coming and overwhelming us. And the difficult challenge of accepting that I am getting old is bombarded upon us. You must accept. And time is just running. It's not going to wait for anybody. There are so many awkwardness of the material world. The mind is telling that I want to become richer than what I am. The mind wants to get promotion that I'm not going to get. The mind is desiring that my daughter should get married this year. My son should get so much marks in SSC. But they don't get. And then you cry and you shout at them and you cannot accept. I want this but I am not getting it. Why I am staying in only one room kitchen? I should get two room kitchen and I should get three room kitchen. Why don't I have a small hut in Lonavala? So many things are there. Mind is disturbing us. And then there is so much awkwardness of relationships. I want my wife to be like this. My wife wants her husband to be like this. And I want children to be like this. I want neighbors to be like this. And I want my society people to be like this. And I want my friends to be like this. And they are never like the way that we want them to be. Most of the times, the relationship that we have are very awkward actually. In Marathi we say, sahanai hot nahi and sangta yet nahi. Is that right? You can't even tell and you can't even tolerate. There are so many things in life about relationships that we are unable to even tell, you know, word it out any time. So much suffering is there actually. Beyond what is manifested, there is deep iceberg, you know, which we can never talk to anybody. Maybe we can talk to ourselves and to the Lord sometimes, but we can't express. And then the nature is overwhelming us sometimes with floods outside and no water in the tap here. Is that right? So many times happen. Most of the times when there is heavy rains outside, that day water cut is there, water shortage is there. Kya bolte usko? Water shortage. 15-20% of that. And then you go happily walking in the flooded water, some children, and you get leptospirosis. Because all rats come out of the holes and they get scared to death, so they pass urine and there is a virus in that and you get leptospirosis. You go to Vrindavan and it's 50 degrees centigrade in the month of May. Everybody is just burning, and boiling and getting fried and roasted. And go in the month of December and January, everybody is chilled like chiller tray, you know. Only you can't become ice because something is happening inside, 37 degrees. So, but everything is, nose is becoming black from front and fingers are numb, you know. So much suffering is there. Nature is just harassing us in one sense. Although nature is the energy of the Lord, but the nature is responding to our atrocities that we have done. We are suffering and suffering. So how much awkwardness is there? You can imagine. From the nature there is awkwardness. From the people who are living around you, there is awkwardness. You come home in the night, very tired, you want to just crash to the bed and the dogs are barking for whole night in the society, on the road, out of society. And you just can't sleep. Then Navratri is coming very close. You are forced to stay awake all the nine nights, whether you are worshipping or not, but you have to stay awake. Ganpati is coming and Ganpati also cannot sleep because whole day they are just harassing him with horrible sounds. So much, you know, awkwardness is there in life. And we still try to be happy, still try to search happiness. How it is possible? Everywhere, all directions up and down, 10 directions are simply filled with awkwardness. And on top of this disease and old age and this adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidaivik, there are two main dangers, that is birth and death. Birth is also suffering. Soul has to accept a body which is perishing and has to go through a small canal, squeezed totally, completely squeezed to the extent that it has to forget everything of the past, including the life in the womb also. None of us remember the life in the womb because the coming out procedure is so painful that you forget everything. And then whole throughout the life, there is oncoming monster, that is death. When we are young, we don't realize so much. But as we cross 40, the fear starts creeping in, one by step, 1%, 2%, 50. When you become 50, it is 25%. When you become 55, it becomes 60%. When you become 60, it becomes 70%. When you become 75, it becomes, 80%. And somebody is unable to walk, there is any moment. You don't know. when it is going to be there. Actually, it is very, we may laugh here, but you can ask an old man who is walking on the street with some help, who is about 85 years old and somehow trying to maintain his life by walking, how fearful he is. My mother is 82 years old. My aunties, my mother's younger sister is also 78 years old. Her husband is also 80 years old. And they are living in constant fear. Who will go first? She or he? He or she? And you know, such a dreadful fear that if she goes, how will I live? And she thinks, if he goes, how will I live? They don't have any children. There are so many of them, millions of them in the world, just living every moment in the fear of oncoming death. And sure enough, somebody will go first, and others will have to suffer, and others also will go in the course of time. This is the nature of the material world. Opposite to that, all these descriptions, we can go on and on. Devamrut Maharaj one day told me that this is also Kirtan, to discuss about the miseries of material life. This is another type of Kirtan, but this is also Kirtan, he said. But this makes you perform the real Kirtan very nicely, understanding well. When you are aware of this situation, that makes you understand and makes you do the Kirtan very nicely, very like Prabhuji was singing so intensely. It will help us to do that. That's why also it is a part of Kirtan. So, opposite to this is the soul. Nature is always blissful, full of knowledge about itself and the Lord and the relationship between the two, and full of ananda, absolute experience, not absence of miseries, but the absolute experience of bliss, which has no beginning and no end, which is unlimited, which is ever growing, ever fresh, ever expanding, ever drowning the soul in unlimited joy of meeting the Lord. This is the nature of the soul. And this nature of the soul is exactly fitted in the capsule, which is exactly opposite to the nature of the soul. The soul is eternal, the body is temporary. The soul is full of knowledge, the body is full of ignorance, limited knowledge, perverted knowledge, wrong knowledge. The body perceives through the senses, which are imperfect. And the body is full of miseries, always giving pain, and the soul is full of pleasure and bliss. It is said that the body has, you should analyze, the body has more potential to give you pain than pleasure. You can't claim that there is no pleasure. There is experience of pleasure is there. When you eat gulab jam, when you are hungry, you eat nice food, you are thirsty, you drink nice drinks, you feel happiness. It's all temporary, but it is there. But the potential of the body to give you pain is maybe millions of times more than the potential it has to give you some pleasure. And the soul is fitted in such kind of combination. So how can the soul be happy? How can, if this room is filled with bad smell, how can you live in this room? How can you continue living? How long you will live? You will be suffocated, you will be miserable, you will have headaches, and you will have, you know, nausea and lack of appetite, and you will, so many things will happen, lack of sleep. So it's like suffocating, you know, it's like a gas which is suffocating you. But soul is constantly being suffocated in this material world. And still we fail to accept it. And still try to seek pleasure. Like suppose we generally imagine that it's a bhangi, how the bhangi lives. You know, constantly either he is in the gutter, or is in the toilets, or is in the nala, or something, somewhere he is there in some other ugly, foul-smelling condition. How does he live? But what he does, he just takes one peg and continues working. How do we are always imagining in the medical students, how does the autopsy, that is the post-mortem guy, how does he live, you know? How can he live? How does he live life? Constantly he is in mortuary, full of dead bodies, he has to cut one after another. He just has to slit the bodies open, take the organs out and stitch it back again, and smelling like anything is just horrible. And how does he do his job? So he's always drunk, somehow trying to forget whatever negative things are around him and try to do his work and get out. So however we try to adjust with things, but still the suffering doesn't end. You think that because the bhangi drinks alcohol, he is forgetting what suffering he is having? No. It's just alteration. It's just assuming that it's not there. So the golden statement is, somehow we have to reconcile between these two things, exactly opposite to one another. And that is what the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the holy name, which can actually make the soul blissful in the middle of all the miseries. This is very difficult to understand. How it is possible? But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has demonstrated in the lives of devotees by His mercy that in such situation also one can become blissful. That means one can live up to the nature of the soul. The true nature of the soul can be realized while we are living our life and remain blissful on the spiritual platform while living this material life also, while doing our duties also. So spiritual life actually means a process which can make you blissful while living the most awkward and most suffering conditions of life. It is possible, Srila Prabhupada said, that when you say Hare Krishna, at once one transcends physical, mental, social and ego levels and situates oneself on the spiritual platform instantly and experiences transcendental bliss. So it's not that, okay, 5 years I'm on physical platform and the 7th year I'll be on mental platform and then the 8th year I'll be on intellectual platform and the 15th year I'll be on ego platform and then I'll cross the platform and go on spiritual platform. Those are all the other methods, yoga and all those things. There are so many methods which are so long and complicated. But the process of bhakti is instant. When one has faith that the holy name is the only panacea cure, the only medicine, the topmost of all medicines, and we take it with faith, at least for that moment we are on the spiritual platform, we experience that bliss. And when that taste comes to us, then we hanker for that taste and we keep on chanting and we keep on trying to remember and remain on that platform of transcendental bliss. And the more and more we do it, the longer we stay on the platform of bliss, and maybe one day will come, we will be always on that platform of bliss only. And constantly the holy name will resound in our mind of minds behind while we are doing our work. And the process of Sankirtan is such that you must be in the most morose condition of life. And I challenge anybody that you take part in the Kirtan of holy name, dancing Kirtan or singing together, your miseries will fly like the birds will fly out of clapping. This is also experienced. You are most morose, most upset with somebody, angry, and all envious and negative feelings are there, you are upset with everything, and you join the Kirtan and you see everything will just go away from you. One should have faith. Because that process of chanting Hare Krishna together with sincere devotees, with calling out the Lord sincerely from the bottom of the heart, is Golokera Premadhana Harinama Sankirtana, is the essence of Golok Vrindavan. When Krishna experiences the topmost pleasure with gopis and gives them topmost pleasure of Rasa Leela, that pleasure is imported as Harinam Sankirtan. That topmost pleasure there is imported here in the most simple way of Harinam Sankirtan. So we may not be gopis, we may not be on that platform, but still we can experience what gopis were experiencing when they were with Krishna dancing. That is why when you take part in the Harinam Sankirtan, immediately you feel that bliss. I have not up till now seen so many years anybody in the Kirtan upset or sad or morose, you know. It cannot be possible. It's not possible. It's absolute. You take part. If you don't take part, you may feel. If you are egoistic and you feel what he will say when I dance and what she will say when I will raise my hands and that is there, then you may feel still out of place. But if you are in it truly, by full presence of yours, no one can remain unhappy. In fact, not remaining unhappy is a negative concept. You will remain blissful immediately. You will become blissful. That is the power of the chanting of the holy names together with sincere devotees calling. So this we should know, that the reconciling factor between the awkwardness of the material life and the transcendental nature of the soul is the Harinam Sankirtan. And that Harinam Sankirtan is also a person of Lord Sri Krishna. He is himself Sri Krishna. One experiences the presence of Sri Krishna within himself out of himself amongst the devotees everywhere when we take part of the in the Harinam Sankirtan. And that is why everybody feels that bliss, because Sri Krishna himself descends in his fullest transcendental personality in presence of all of us. So when Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, the scriptures tell us that this life is meant for actually experiencing loving relationship with the Lord. And if you have taken birth as human being, then every moment of human life is endowed with that potential of developing loving relationship every moment of our life. We should not think ki, the daughter of Raghunacharan Prabhu is so small. How does she know about all this loving relationship with the Lord? No. In her own way, in her own situation, in the own situation of life also, it is potential in her to experience Krishna and his relationship with her. The kind of environment Prabhuji is giving and devotees are offering, the soul is experiencing. The opportunity is being bestowed upon us. Like that, when we grow up and we understand, each and every moment of human life is potential enough to experience that bliss of newer and newer loving relationship with the Lord. So in which case, even the miseries that we have, or we are supposed to have, or we apparently have, those miseries are a potential opportunity for a devotee to understand the mercy of the Lord. We say, when miseries come, why they are coming? I am chanting Hare Krishna. The neighbors even don't do that. The relatives don't even do that. I am chanting Hare Krishna sincerely, following principle. I don't even take tea coffee. I have given up onions and garlics. But still, why they are coming to me? There is one way of looking at it. And the second way of looking at it is that if I chant the holy name of the Lord even once, sincerely, and I have chanted before in the past, then the Lord has taken me in his lap. And now my welfare is in the hands of the Lord. So how, when I have offered myself to the Lord in sincere effort, how the Lord will do ever bad thing to me? It is his divine plan to connect himself to me, or me to him. It's an opportunity for us to remember him. So the awkwardness is there, the pain is there, the misery is there, the discomfort is there, the unwanted experience is there when we go through situations in life. But there is unlimited opportunity hidden in that situation to understand that in that situation it is easily possible to experience the Lord. It is easily possible to get his mercy, appreciate his mercy. So we have to have that faith that the Lord will never do anything that is not good for us. The Lord is the ultimate welfare giver of the living entities. Suruda is not ordinary Ruda, is not ordinary friend, is Suruda, the greatest of all friends, who does only welfare to his parts and parcels, that is all of us. So when we take the holy name of the Lord very sincerely in our lives, when we accept the holy name gratefully, thankfully, and follow the process very, very sincerely, like calling out from the heart, the bottom of the heart, then what happens? The understanding comes in us that all these things which are coming in our life are actually directly ordained by the Lord. They are not ordained by Prakriti, they are not ordained by Durga Devi or any stars. They are very interested in knowing what the stars are doing, you know, always. The stars are not sending us, the nakshatra are not sending us, the constellation is not sending us. Directly the Supreme Lord is sending all those things so that he is designing us to be fit to reach him. So every time the potato is boiling in the water, the potato has to think that why I am getting boiled, because ultimately I have to be offered to the Lord. I am right now in the raw condition, not acceptable or palatable. So I'm being boiled and then fried and then spiced afterwards, and then I'm on the table of the Lord as bhoga, and then my life is perfect. But the potato thinks that I'm being boiled, I'm being cut, I'm being peeled off, I'm being roasted, I'm being spiced, and I'm being thrown here and there. The potato will be miserable. So what is the process of reconciliation between the awkwardness of the material life and the transcendental nature of the soul? Is accepting bhakti, the process of bhakti, spiritual life, the holy name, the sankirtan process, the process of devotional service, as Rupa Goswami is explaining. Shuddha bhakti purna seva, transcendental loving service of the Lord. And when we engage ourselves in that service, the required faith comes, the required strength comes, required willpower comes, required tolerance comes, required gratefulness comes. Everything that is required in spiritual life comes automatically when we engage our senses in the process of Shuddha Bhakti. And that process itself opens the door to make us every moment enjoy new and new aspects of loving relationship with the Lord. And that is why we are living, actually. And that is why I was just telling my wife on the way that we are very, very fortunate, actually. Very, very fortunate, because we have been given the understanding of the true nature of the happenings of life. If we were not given the true nature of the understanding of the happenings of life, we would be drowning in the ocean of misery. But still, there is so much happiness, there is so much joy. Devotees come, and when they come, perform kirtan, there is so much joy. The only reason is because we have been bestowed upon with the gift of the Lord of this knowledge, which is transcendental knowledge. And we have been given the process how to apply it in our life in a very simple manner. It's not that it's transcendental knowledge, it's just beyond my reach. It's not like that. It's just available to you. Even a small child can practice, even an elderly man can practice, even a knowledgeable man can practice, even an ignorant fool can practice. So the best of the best of the things is also available easily to practice for anybody. Those kind of contradictions are made available to us at the same time by the mercy of Guru and Guru Parampara and Krishna and the devotees around us. So when the last moment of life comes, it's the most dreadful thing for everybody. Most people are scared of it, even to think of it. Many people don't want to talk about it. It's so painful to think about it. It is so inauspicious to even think about it and talk about it. So everybody just avoids it. But the philosophy of hospice tells us that that most dreadful, unwanted situation of life called death can be turned into a festival by the arrangement of devotees. It can be a best festival where the soul is longing for, hankering for, waiting for lifetimes together to meet his most beloved friend, the best friend of all friends, who accompanies you in the body of a worm in the stool also. To meet that best friend, it becomes an opportunity. And that opportunity can be created. And that dreadful event can be turned into a festival by the mercy of Sri Gurudev. That is why we are fortunate. That we know everything, all bare facts of material life, and the end of the facts, of all facts, is the death which is coming. And we also have a remedy, how we can just completely transform everything into most blissful. While we are living all these awkward, miserable situations of life in this body, and when time comes to leave this body, the most dreadful event, also that can be turned into most blissful event. That is why our philosophy is Krantikari philosophy, the most revolutionary philosophy. Because the most miserable situations throughout the life can be constantly made into most blissful events by some divine process in between. It's all possible. It is not a dream only. It is not just a fantasy or beautiful poetical description. It's all practical. It's all can be experienced by every single soul. So today we have gathered here to remember our dear Shyam Mohan Prabhu. In any case, life will be attacked by some dreadful disease. And then that disease will turn into a terminal disease one day. Doctors will say, thank you very much for all your bills, but I can't give you a cure. You can please go home and meet your friends and pray to the Lord and wait for the inevitable unwanted situation. Every disease one day will turn into terminal. A simple cough can become terminal and take you back. But see, when there are devotees around you, when the terminal illness comes, you can read here, he is asking Gurudev, so what can I do now? Gurudev is saying, just be grateful to the Lord. So the most people will be most miserable and most fearful and most, you know, I cannot even describe what people go through when they are not Krishna conscious. And when one becomes Krishna conscious, he is ready, fully prepared. So I also met Narendra Dalal, Dwarkadish Prabhu's father. And the last moment of his life, most suffering, is saying, Guru Maharaj, I have surrendered my life to you. I am offering my life at your lotus feet. Please guide me and instruct me what is my duty now. It's like Pradishit Maharaj. From where the courage comes to ask like this? It's only from the power of the Holy Name. And by the association of devotees, sincere devotees around you. So we should value devotees because they are very, very precious. They only can make you remember Lord. Our relatives, our dear ones, however they may love you, it's only a material love of the body. The devotees, they may not be related to you by blood relations, but they will be only people to remind you of the Lord. Because they only have Krishna and they can remind us of Him any moment of life, whether in life or at the moment of death. So the most dreadful event can be turned into a blissful event. We can see so many devotees have passed away in Bhaktivedanta hospital. There is no wrinkle, there is no anxiety, there is no pain while passing away. I have witnessed them passing away. They pass in a very blissful manner. Only when the devotees are around. They die without devotees. Sometimes, unfortunately, there is a pain on the face, the dead body also. The devotees who receive kirtan, and the association of devotees and very merciful association, reminding them of the Lord, prayers and Harinam and reading from scriptures. You can see, Shyam Krishna Prabhu's father left in front of my eyes, in front of my house. He was not able to lift even eyelid. They was to lift his eyelid and tell him, Papa, I am here and Mummy, I am here. And that Prabhuji, we just informed Radhana Swami that he is leaving his body within few hours. So Gurudev said, I am in Govardhan, I am praying for him. And please convey them that I am praying for him. Don't worry, I am praying for him. And as soon as that message I went to convey, this Prabhuji opened his eyes like wide, smiled like anything, saw the picture of Adha Gopinath and left his body. Cannot imagine. And I was very blissful, you know. But I couldn't show it externally because relatives are there around. I was so happy. What bigger fortune anybody wants, you know. A person who is absolutely immobile and uncontrollable in his body suddenly opens his eyes and smiles blissfully. Left. Same with Paramahansa Prabhu's mother also. She just smiled so broad in the last moment and she passed away. Because Prabhupada came in her dreams that morning. She related to all of us that Prabhupada came in her dreams and told her, you don't worry, I will take care of everything. So before that she was anxious. After that she told her son, I don't have any worries now. Anything is happening, I am ready for that. And she smiled. I was right next to her. Smiled broadly and she died. How can I say she died? She took new birth in the spiritual world. Wherever Krishna wants her to be, whichever form, closest to Him. So, Shyam Mohan Prabhu's time, amazing thing, you know. How with the Lord wants us to get His mercy. How He conveys that mercy to us. I had been to Barsana, so somehow You know, there is a very special garland they make, which is on the body of Radharani and Krishna, Ladili Lal, for whole day after Shringar Arati, till the night Darshan Arati. It is, there are some leaves, they are cut in a very fashionable manner, and there is a rose on that, and another decoration on that, and a bead on that, and it is stitched together, and there is a background of the leaf, front you see the rose flower, and the bead and the decoration, and they are tied together. That's the only garland which remains on the body of the Lords. Rest everything offered at the feet and given back to you. That only is there on the body from morning to night. Somehow, by the unlimited mercy of Sriji, I received one of them. So I brought it to Bombay and then I touched it to so many devotees. And it remained on my table in my office for 10 days. Just kept in front of my table. And whoever came to my office, I just touched it. Everybody, and I was just wondering, it is still there, it is still very nice, you know, not rotten or something, it's still there, still there. So I was waiting, and the news came that Shyamohan Prabhu is in the hospital and he's in the last stages and all. And I was coming from outside somewhere. I said, ki, I want to just go and meet him, and but what do I do? What I should carry? So suddenly I thought that, oh, that garland is in my office. So I just rushed to my office. I took the garland and I went up. And I was wondering, 10 days, 12 days, I am not disposing the garland to ocean or anything. And then I went and I offered him. And I told the daughters that, please don't remove till he goes back to crematorium. And then I think went back to crematorium also with him. So one can imagine where is Barsana and where is Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And that which is not easily available to anybody is made available. And from where to where it is brought and to whom it is delivered. This is not something accidental situation. This is the perfect plan of Srimati Radharani to bless his devotee. This is a fact. And I was wondering, ki, why this garland is with me for 10 days, 12 days, you know. Because the Lord has already sent it. Srimati Radharani already had sent it much ahead of time, in advance. And so many devotees already have touched it, and also, you know, it is said that when Mahaprasad goes from many, many devotees' hands, it becomes more and more and more potent and powerful. It doesn't lose its potency. Even from junior to senior person goes, it doesn't lose its potency. Suppose a junior devotee wears and then suddenly a senior devotee comes and he takes it from his garland, it doesn't lose its potency by going to junior devotee. It just augments and multiplies. So such a mercy Srimati Radharani sent. So we can understand, it is not ordinary, this is not simple, this is not just accident. This is perfect plan of the Lord. And if it can happen with one devotee, and so many devotees we have seen, we should not think that it is accident. It can happen with us also. We have to be, what is needed for that? That we have to be grateful. The topmost of all qualities, that is, we have to be grateful for whatever has been sent to us, whatever has been given to us, whatever is going to come in future, maybe bearable, unbearable, maybe tolerable, not tolerable. Everything that is going to come to us, with faith we should know that it is all good for us and we should be genuinely thankful to the Lord for that. When that thing develops in our heart, then the Lord but cannot help but help us to remember Him. And He will convince you by such happenings that I am there for you. Don't worry and don't lose faith. I am there for you and I will come for you. I will narrate a small story to you. How the Lord responds to gratefulness and responds to services that we do. We may forget everything what we have done also. But the Lord never forgets what we have done for Him. So one devotee was there, he was attending Prabhupada's class, and Prabhupada said that whoever will go to China and preach, I will take him back to Godhead myself. He just mentioned in the class, you know. And pure devotees don't speak from their hat, you know. They speak from the heart and they speak Krishna's words. So one devotee got inspired in the audience and he just went to China. He preached for years together. I forgot his name actually. Then Prabhupada awarded sannyas to him. He became Maharaj, and again he continued serving in China, giving Krishna's gift to all the community of people called Khas. You know, Andhra, Pulinda, Huna, there are many castes. And we learned that Japanese and Chinese people are from Khas community. They are supposed to be the communities which are, from Bhagavatam point of view, degraded communities. To those people, he was giving the holy name and the gift of love of Godhead through the Harinam Sankirtan. But, unfortunately, he drifted away from the path of active Krishna consciousness. He left Krishna consciousness and he went back to material life. Many years passed and Prabhupada also missed him very much. But he got cancer one day. And he was in such a situation of pain that he called his mother. Mother, can I come back to you? Mother said, so many years you left me. 35 years back. I don't even imagine now how you must be looking. I've not seen you for so many years. So I just don't think I can accept you. Because, you know, we lost our relationship. So he was sad. So he contacted local temple. And the devotees, you know, were so merciful and so welcoming. They immediately welcomed him. Without knowing his all the glorious past. They said, the devotee is in last stage and he wants to take shelter. So he said, come. So he went to the temple. And obviously he was not of any use, like, you know, sankirtan and, you know, fundraising and preaching and deity worship, nothing. He was on the bed. He only needed help from devotees, and devotees were very glad to do that. So one day, Srila Prabhupada appeared in the dreams of his mother and said, this is the address. Your son is in this temple. Please go and visit him. He wants to see you. So mother was moved in the dream. She didn't know who Prabhupada was. She never met Prabhupada. She just said an old man came and gave me the address in the dream. And somehow she didn't write down anything, but she remembered everything in the dream. This is what happens when the great devotees or transcendental personalities come. You don't require paper and pen that time. Whatever they speak, you remember. So she came searching and she found out. And she said, yes, this man came in my dream yesterday night. And he told me this. This same man came. So where is my son? So yes, your son is there. And she came and she met his son and she was like overwhelmed to see the son in the condition and how she understood this is the guru, the spiritual master of my son who came in the dreams. He's no more in the material world now. No, he's passed away. And still he comes and tells me and it's the right place, not just some vague place he told me in the clouds that your son is there. No, some physical place. He guided her and she came there. She was like completely overwhelmed. And then long time they discussed things and then she was like extending her love for his son. And suddenly, the person who is unable to even move his hand or a finger suddenly just stood up from the bed and said, Prabhupada, you came! And it died on the spot. You can imagine?
Sudama Maharaj,
correct. Thank you for reminding the name. So he was unable to move an inch of his body. He just rose from the deathbed, like halfway. He just raised his hand and said, Prabhupada, you came. And he again dropped back. So what do we conclude? We say, oh, this is all emotional story, you know. All you ISKCON guys are just trying to fool people around. It's nothing like that. But what about that person, Sudama Maharaj? For him it's a reality. Prabhupada fulfilled his words. That I will take you back to God and back to God personally. I will come and rescue you. So he must have forgotten all these things. Maybe many years he drifted away and he forgot everything. But how can Prabhupada forget? How can Krishna forget? So once we say in this lifetime, Tava Asmin, O my Lord, I am yours. Maro bhi rakho bhi jo ichha tohar. Do whatever you want, my life is yours. You will forget that line you made to Krishna some time ago in great emotions of devotion, but he will not forget. You may give up Krishna consciousness, go away. He will hold your hair and pull you back again at his lotus feet. Because once you say that, he takes complete charge of our lives. Even if we forget, he keeps that charge with him and he never forgets that one statement that you made. And what to speak of services that we did. If we did one service to him, sincerely from the bottom of our heart, Lord is eternally grateful. So that attracts the mercy of the Lord. So service and the grateful heart. Whatever comes to us, if we are grateful for that, Lord is obliged. If you are thankful, it is not that it is mercy upon you, it becomes your right to meet Him at the end of the life. It only takes a little effort to say, thank you, my Lord. It's an effort. You know? In any pain, you say, thank you, my Lord. Maybe tomorrow morning you can say, if not that time. But say, if today evening you get great pain and you are suffering that pain, somehow you got well after that, tomorrow morning wake up and say, thank you for that pain, my Lord. If you're able to say that, that moment you will experience tremendous spiritual energy entering in you and strengthening you for the next thank you. Because next time, when you say one time thank you, the next pain is going to be bigger than the previous pain. But the strength will come to you. So thank you. So what we have to have? We have to have the desire to say thank you to the Lord. And the Lord will mercifully give us strength and help us to thank you. And by that thank you, He will take us back to Godhead with Him. So this is a festival of Krishna consciousness. It's not an ordinary life. मैं से क्या यार हरे कृष्णा में जाए इतना साल चैंटिंग किया कोई प्रमोशन नहीं हुआ कुछ नहीं हुआ क्या है सब अच्छा शादी भी हुआ नहीं बीवी भी अच्छी नहीं मिली क्या व्हाट इज दिस दिस इज व्हाट वी मे थिंक लाइक दैट बट ट्रू कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस इज अ एवरी मोमेंट फेस्टिवल ऑफ यूनाइटिंग विद द लॉर्ड प्लीज थिंक अबाउट इट एक्सपीरियंस अबाउट इट एवरी डे अफेयर. Why spiritual personalities are always blissful and smiling and effulgent? Because they are every moment enjoying a festival of being with the Lord. And it's not the same. Huh? It's not jalebi every time. different things are there. Different experiences, all full of variety. It's full of joy, it's full of variegatedness. No boredom, no repetition. You said that Krishna never dresses the same dress and same flowers every day. Every day is different. When the same dress appears different when he wears next time. And that is what we see in the material world here with our mortal eyes. In the spiritual world, there is nothing same the next moment. What to speak of next day? What to speak of morning and evening? Every moment is different. New and happy and fresh moment with Krishna. And that experience can be there with all of us, even in the material life that we are living today in the material world. Only thing, we have to have faith. That some of you came little late, I would like to repeat the golden statement that if we only reconcile between the awkwardness of the material life and the transcendence of the soul, if we reconcile these two things, every moment of our life will become a new experience in loving relationship with the Lord. Every moment will become a festival. So if every moment is a festival, how death will not be a festival? Even death will be a festival. We should determine ourselves to make our death a festival. Not a crying event. Devotees may cry out of separation, but they will be joyful. They should be joyful. Because this devotee met with Krishna finally. The eternal friend, the best friend of ours. So let us determine ourselves to make everybody's departure a festival. Our departure, a festival. Huh? We say, what kind of abhadra you are talking? Huh? He's like dying and you are saying it's a festival. No, only devotees can discuss among themselves these things. These things are not to be discussed with outsiders. Because they will feel these people are crazy, they're mad. They don't have any understanding of life. But this is the most beautiful understanding of life. How the most awkward situation can be turned into most blissful situation every moment in this life itself, and same thing at the end of life also. It's all possible. It is not just theory. It's all possible. It is all experienceable. It is all available to all of us, irrespective of our caste, creed, age, years in Krishna consciousness, anything. No material consideration can stop us from experiencing this festival of Krishna consciousness every moment of life. Thank you very much. So, is there any comments or questions? My capacity, I would like to answer.
Very touching, but very inspiring and very hope-giving.
However miserable or suffering our life may be, this hope is the substance of our life. This hope that Prabhuji said is very hope-giving. This hope is our substance that will carry us on. In the worsening situations of the world today, this hope will carry us on. This hope and the actual experience of Krishna consciousness will carry us through to the ultimate destiny of meeting our friend, Sri Krishna. Is there any questions?
When you said about the body growing old.
Yes.
Sometimes when we have the strength to stay in the position, we serve, and then you are in the limelight of the body. After some time, you lose that position. There is no service after that. So, how does that individual, who's probably grown older also, just live in the past that I had served those, that time when I had the strength, and now I don't have strength, so I can't serve? Should
we
live in the past, or how should we continue
service? We have to go. The question is that how do we reconcile between the past services and maybe old, and then we cannot serve, or what do we do? We have to go a little deeper into the understanding of what service means. So Prabhupada said, chanting Hare Krishna is also service. The external form of service may change. And we should not see a devotee only when he is externally useful or available for physical service, for book distribution, for fundraising, for whatever is preaching, making devotees or some deity worship or some things. Then only he is valuable, and now he has become useless, he is on the bed. Those concepts we should first erase off. So many devotees, Prabhupada's times, you know, when they were in early 20s, 15, 16, 17 years old, sometimes 20s, early 20s, till they become 70, they have, it's like, you know, Samhita offered in fire, like that they offered themselves in Prabhupada's Sankirtan Yagya. Completely, full-fledged. And then now they have diseases, and they have body aches, and they have heart troubles, and they have undergone bypasses, and they have got so many things, and they need so much money to maintain their body in the old age, and they have some diets, and cholesterol is high, and they are apparently quote-unquote useless. But how can they become useless? They are most valuable. What about that realization that they have received in the heart? So services change. Today maybe my voice is little not good, and tomorrow it will be old and I won't be able to speak. But it's not only service I am going to do. There are so many things. So the top type of service will always change. But service will always be there. Because if Krishna says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has said, Jivera Swarupo Hoy Krishna Nitya Das, then how he can make the old man out of service, go out of service? No, services will change. And we have to learn to appreciate and honor the change of services that we need to go through. An old man who has served for 50 years to Prabhupada's movement may be lying in the bed right now. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, you know what he said? He said that what service I rendered in the last year of my life, I could not do all throughout the years of my life of Prabhupada's service. And even if somebody would tell me that you will get cured of cancer, still I would not trade with this 1 year of service of what I did to Prabhupada. So he was on deathbed, he was absolutely so-called externally useless, right? In fact, liability on others. So many people were serving him, painkiller, these nurse, palliative care nurse, cooking, these cleaning, everything was done by others. He was simply a vegetable, in the physical sense. But he said that I will not trade my cancer with anything in the material world. Even I will not trade for cure also. Because this situation has helped me to do so much service. But the type of service was different. He was not dancing, playing the duffli in the hand, and he was not preaching to African countries that time. But the message that he gave to the world from deathbed is eternal. So we have to look into that. And we have to make the so-called old people feel that dignity. One of the most important activity of hospice is to give dignity to the dying soul. The most dying souls feel, I am useless, I am burdensome, so much money has been spent on me, I am not regenerating any money, I am a burden, I should just leave as early as possible. You know, I just heard a story in Vrindavan. Abhiram Prabhu was last days was with Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was like so skinny and bony, he's like in a small child they were lifting in one hand. So skinny and light he had become. So he said, I was one time cleaning Prabhupada after toilet, holding him like this in hand, head on this side, and I was cleaning. And Prabhupada was kind of little embarrassed. You know. Prabhupada said, do you feel bad or embarrassed to do this seva? Why don't you just give up? You know, it's all right. So he said that, Prabhupada, if I stop serving you like this, I will definitely go and serve Maya outside. So Prabhupada nodded. So I told Abhiram Prabhu, actually from hospice principles, you gave dignified feeling to Prabhupada. You didn't make Prabhupada feel that I am doing a great service to you by cleaning your toilet and you are dependent on me. You made Prabhupada feel, I need this service to do unto you. And he gave the dignity for a dying, whatever, departing soul. So this is hospice. Means you have to create dignity for all old people, that you are not useless. You are very valuable. You can share your realizations. We want to hear from you. Make them feel that whatever number of years they are going to live in the material world in so-called useless situation is most useful to all of us. Then we are a successful community of devotees. To make a old man, not earning money, not doing any service, live a dignified life and depart in the most glorious way from his point of view. He should feel glorious, you know, yes, and my every moment is worth living over here with these devotees. So, to make an old person feel like that is a failure of a community. To make the old person feel dignified is success of that community. And if you are able to do that, then we can say proudly to Prabhupada that we are your successful community. You know? So, everybody of us, you know, we were running around so much when we were in early 20s. I don't think we can do it now. We can do different kind of service. Like that. Does that answer your question? Very good. Yeah, okay. Let him ask first.
No, Prabhuji, I wanted to know, Giriraj Maharaj in Vrindavan, he has started a hospice over there. So can you throw some light on that?
Yeah. What exactly? Before I go into that, let me answer his philosophical question. I want to describe to you. Yeah.
There are certain unavoidable circumstances for someone, you know. When somebody has a high fever, he takes medicine, keep on taking medicine, and he can't chant around, you know, because he feels sleepy. Or suppose somebody goes in coma, he cannot chant. So he cannot do any sangeetan. So how he can serve the Lord?
How we can serve the Lord? What Lord has said? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajyati ante kalevaram antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. So ultimately the ultimate service one does is smaranam of the Lord. The essence and culmination of all the services, what you should do, it should make you remember the Lord constantly. So in coma or not in coma, in being able to chant or not being able to chant, if one remembers Krishna continuously, then he is successful. So we are all chanting 16 rounds and we chant more rounds sometimes and we chant more and do some seva and trying to be engaged in service to Krishna. Ultimately, what is the purpose of all this thing? Is to remember Krishna. It is not said, antakale cha mameva kirtan muktva kalevaram or, you know, some seva muktva kalevaram. It is said, smaran muktva kalevaram. So our judgment is like this, you know, he is not able to chant his rounds, he is in coma right now. We do not know the intricacies of the soul, that the soul can connect with the Lord in any conditions of life. There is no material impediment for a soul to connect with the Lord in any conditions of life. That faith we must have. That is by philosophy, that is by discussion of philosophy, we understand that a soul by nature is always able, if wanted, if he wants, to remember the Lord. And that is what our whole moment is. That's why I said our moment is very revolutionary. The most externally unfathomable condition, one can connect with the Lord. Nothing can stop the soul. If we create a proper environment around the soul who is in coma, who is in most deep coma, irresponsive condition, then the soul can receive all that you do for him to connect us with the Lord successfully. And we may not even perceive the results of our efforts, that he connected or not, but he has connected. Our responsibility is to create a situation for that soul to be able to connect. That means by creating spiritual environment. It could be through kirtan, through chanting, through prayers, through silent prayers, through loud prayers, through musical instruments, without musical instruments, all those things you can think of, any combinations. Create spiritually vibrant atmosphere. And the soul has to get enlivened. There is nothing else the soul can do in the spiritual atmosphere but to be awakened. And that we should do. So coming back to his question, that Giriraj Maharaj has inspired and started a hospice in Vrindavan. And that hospice is meant for comforting people. The hospice care is called as palliative care. Palliation means comfort giving care. To make the awkward, painful conditions of the body into a comfortable situation for the soul, so that he or she can remember the Lord constantly in the life of terminal illness and the end of life when one has to depart. So for that, medical services are required, mainly pain management, symptomatic management. Some may die, person may have vomiting, hiccups, loose motions, so many things are there, no, I can't describe here. But to comfort them of that, not to cure the disease, they are not going to get cured, but just to make them pain-free in comfortable condition. So there is nursing care, then there is social care. He may be having worries, what will happen to my son, my daughter, my wife and children, my property, this, that, you know. All those things are also arranged by social worker. And then there is spiritual services. He may worry, what will happen to me, will I go back to Godhead, will I go to hell, will I go to, you know, is God angry with me? Have I done any sinful activities? Why me only? There are so many questions the soul may ask. And they need to be answered. He needs to be satisfied. He needs to be pacified. His will needs to be made. He needs to be trained and educated and prepared for the final event. He needs to be told what is going to happen to him, how the death is going to approach to him, what will happen in the last moment, what will happen few hours before that, what will happen to you, and how are we going to all help you in this situation, and in this situation. So all preparations are done. The soul, the person is told exactly what we are going to do for you and what you are going to do in response. And after you depart, at the moment of departure, what we will do. And after you depart, what we will do. Everything is prepared. And so the person is helped to actually get detached from everything around him. His will is made. He meets his relatives, he says sorry to some people whom he has hurt. They say sorry to him whom they feel they have hurt. All those things, all emotional exchanges are done. And then the soul is ready to depart, to meet his beloved. And a beautiful picture of spiritual world is drawn and told to him, this is how it is. Don't think you are going to die or suffer. You are going to meet your Lord if you do like this. And hope is given to him, dignity is given to him. And this is how death is managed at the hospice in Vrindavan. So we have been doing these services for last 28-29 months up till now to Brijvasis. And now whoever ISKCON devotees will come, get admitted, will do there also. And to many ISKCON devotees, even before hospice is inaugurated, we have served. And we have offered them a situation of comfort of spiritual support, of physical support, emotional support, familial support, financial support, social support. All these supports are provided in hospice. There is a provision to go out of the way to any extent to make the person feel comfortable in the hospice. So the hospice person, he may be employed, but he has to be a missionary by spirit, although he is paid. But ideal hospice worker has to be missionary by spirit, that come what may, I will make this dying person feel comfortable. And in that comfortable condition, I will like to, like him to connect with the Lord, help him to connect with the Lord. And that is why the hospice is made. In foreign countries, hospices are made and more emphasis is on pain management. Because what substance they have. Prabhupada has given us so much spiritual substance. So in India, when we make a hospice or we have made a hospice, thus I would say the majority of the work is spiritual. And the minority of work is medical, nursing, pain management, social, will making, these, that. All this is minority work. And the majority of work is preparing the soul to connect with the Lord successfully in this lifetime. And then leaving the result with the Lord. The Lord wants to take him back or give another life in devotee's family or whatever Lord wants to do, the Lord will be, there is a sweet will to execute. But we will do our part, our best to connect him with the Lord. So for that there may be Jamuna Jal, Radha Kund Jal, Braj Raj, Mahagarland, Charanamrut, Tulsi from the lotus feet of Krishna Balaram, you may call anything, cow dung, everything is possible that is provided. But all efforts are done to connect him with the Lord. This is hospice. So all of us are essentially hospice workers. Because all of us will somehow or other come across death in our family, in our relatives, in our neighborhood, in the friends, in somewhere. And we have to be all prepared to help a dying soul connect with the Lord. Even if you see an accident on the road, immediately your heart should start praying. Immediately should spring out prayers for the Lord, for that person's welfare. That is hospice. Hospice means a state of consciousness to help everybody connect with the Lord.
And you have the same palliative care arrangement
in Bhaktivedanta Hospital also. We have also hospice in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and we have devotees, trained doctors, nurses, and so many devotees and so many everybody at Bhaktivedanta Hospital who dies somehow by the inevitable situations, they get Charanamrut, they get Radha Kunjal, they get Tulsi, they get prayers. Everybody, Christian, Muslim, everybody. Unless they oppose that, they don't give. But most of the people, they say, Jo karna hai karo, hum apna karenge, aap apna karte raho. Every person in the hospital. And this is like accidental deaths or unexpected deaths, but there are people who come to us, they are registered with us. Now there are about 400 people registered with us who are terminally ill, who are under our care. We go to their houses and give care. In Hospice Vrindavan also, there is something called home care. And I think 70% of people who are dying, they prefer to die at home. And we go and give care at home. All these things that I have explained to you are done at home level also. Everything, even death care, end of life care also is offered at homes. Same thing we do in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. For symptomatic and pain management inside the hospital, and we go to their homes and offer their at homes all the care that we can do, counseling and inspiring. And it is not the care only for the patient. Hospice care by definition is for the dying person and to everyone around him who get affected by his dying condition. And they all go through different stages of emotions. Some are in denial, some are in anger, some are in bargaining, some are depressed, some are in acceptance. All kinds of different combinations of emotions take place in the patient and in the relatives around. And even one person who is undergoing the emotional changes also goes on changing. One day he is in anger, one day he is in depression, third day he is in acceptance. And after accepting, again he will go in anger after some time. And when death occurs, the acceptance person will go into anger and the most unexpected person will go into acceptance. All these kinds of emotional changes taking place in the dying people and in the relatives are handled by hospice people. I give a small example. One of the hospital employee's young son died by falling off from fourth floor while flying kite, you know, was in coma for 17 days in the hospital. So, very serious condition, extraordinary spiritual care was given to that boy, and finally the boy died. The mother and father were like, they were knowing that son is going to die and everything. Both of them devotees. But still when the son died, at that time father became very angry. And said, I don't believe in this Krishna. He was worshipping Krishna all life. Why Krishna still killed him? I am chanting Hare Krishna. Still my son is lost. I don't believe in this Krishna. And he was angry. And at the same time mother was saying, thank you to all of you. You did so much for my son. Otherwise he would not have received all these things. So at the same time, two persons in the family are in total opposite emotional situation. And they were handled separately. Together, but in a separate manner. And the way they were handled, after 7 days the father came and apologized to everybody. You all are Krishna's devotees and I said, I don't believe in Krishna and I'm abusing Krishna in front of all of you. I'm very sorry, please forgive me. I was in shock condition that time. So when you give sympathetic care, then the people also realize, you know, I was angry that time, but now I'm sorry for that. So hospice is a very deep subject. It's not just, you know, some structure and some things. Hospice, I told you in short, hospice is a state of consciousness of missionary work. And we have to understand it that way. And it is the greatest of fortune for all of us to be able to help those dying souls, to help them to connect to Krishna in the last moments of their life. They may also appear to be behaving very weirdly or unexpectedly from our point of view. But death is a very tricky situation in life. You know, it can stir everybody from within, you know, from bottom of the existence to topmost of the existence. It will stir one person. It was the final examination to meet the Lord. So, this is what it is.
Prabhuji, one more question. Yeah. Sorry, I'm taking everybody's time.
No problem.
But my question is that if there is somebody who is mentally retarded, not fully, but mentally retarded, and is undergoing depression at this stage, so do you admit such patients and do you...
In hospice?
Yes.
Hospice is a place only for terminally ill people. It is not a place for any other illness.
Terminally
ill.
What is terminally ill?
Terminally ill means incurable disease which will lead to death. Only those conditions which will lead to death inevitably, those patients are admitted. All other conditions can be admitted into psychiatry hospital or a normal hospital or general hospital or a nursing home or whatever specialty they are supposed to be in, like that. Okay?
Thank you.
Any other question? Shri Radha Ras Bihari Lal Ki
Jai.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.